We say hello now to Outkick's Jonathan Hutton, who joins us. Hut, what's up?
How are things, guys?
Oh, we're feeling good. Predators regular season comes to an end, getting ready for the playoffs, yeah. The draft. Just get us to the draft. I'm so tired of talking about it. You know how it goes.
It's almost here, finally. It's almost here. And I feel like there's been, I don't know. I always feel like, see if you guys agree, there's always like this malaise of, the draft coverage is very cyclical.
Yeah.
Where we start with Caleb Williams, and then we haven't had really the breakdown of Caleb Williams like we would with Bryce Young. But it has turned to Jaden Daniels over Drake May. And then it's been J.J. McCarthy. And my guess is by the time everything rolls around a week from Thursday, Drake May will be one of the more discussed quarterbacks when he's not really being discussed right now. Because every mock draft that comes out has to be different. Otherwise, what's the point of putting a mock draft out every week? And I pay attention to the mock drafts that come out over the next week, because that's generally where guys try to really nail down one or two picks that are correct. And if Kuiper gets three or four of them right, that's a good year.
So, last year's quarterback draft class is still incomplete. Obviously, we don't know, Will Levis, how he's ultimately going to be here. Bryce Young left a lot to be desired last year, and C.J. Stroud, everybody's ready to crown the next one. So, it's still yet to be determined. When I look at this quarterback class that potentially could have six QBs go in, the top 40 to 45 picks, I honestly just on paper don't feel like it's going to be that great. Like I have concerns about Caleb Williams and some of the baggage that he brings along. I really liked Drake May more so the year before than last year. Jaden Daniels had, a couple of really good years, but does that translate to the NFL? And then I'm not sold on McCarthy, and I'm not really sold on Nix at the NFL level. How do you think this QB class is actually going to be?
Well, I'm with you on Caleb Williams, Chase. To his credit, he's been relatively quiet, and so has his father. So that's good for him. Like I thought it would be a bit more chaotic than what it's been, personally. Yeah. For no other reason than we heard a lot of chatter right after the season, before the season of the college football season. A lot of that, right? So to his credit, we haven't heard all that much. He's representing himself as well. So just keep all that in mind. He's one of, 13 or 14 players that are going to the draft next week. Drake May surprises me a bit, because at the beginning of last college football season, it was Caleb Williams and then it was Drake May. And Jaden Daniels comes onto the scene and had a great season. And I think he'll be the pick for Washington. J.J. McCarthy is a head-scratcher because – we just didn't see him do what people are saying he's going to do in the NFL in college. Doesn't mean he can't. It's just when we compare the guys, there's Michael Penix Jr., who's had a couple of injuries throughout his college career. And if not for those injuries, he's probably the second or third quarterback taken. And then there's Bo Nix, who we saw play at Auburn. I can't get what we saw at Auburn out of my head. And I'm with you on the back end of these quote-unquote six quarterbacks that we could see take him. Chase, I know what he did at Oregon. I just don't – I'm not seeing the same type of quarterback.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%.
I talked to Jonathan Hutton this morning from Outkick. All right, so Hutton, I go back, this whole quarterback talk and everything. I just always go back to 2011 and Jake Locker, and like, he's a can't-miss guy, should have come out the year before, and he's a guy, and then he gets here and it's like, oh, man. The bottom line is you just never know what you're going to get. I mean, where'd Mahomes go, 15, 17, whatever it was?
Yep.
You just never know where you go. So all this to a point becomes psychobabble. It's like, just stop with all this talk and see what happens there. It'll drive you crazy if you get too in-depth into figuring out quarterbacks and draft and everything. It does mean.
Yeah, I mean, it was Locker or Gabbert.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah.
So here's the thing that I think really hinders a lot of these QBs. They don't, by and large, about half of them will be in a new system 2 years from now, minimum. And some of them, like Caleb Williams, we're seeing it right now with Will Levis. We're seeing it right now with Bryce Young. Coaches go in, they don't perform. And in Chicago's case, literally, Eberflus is the only guy practically that they wanted back. New OC, they brought in a lot of changes. If they're changing head coaches a year from now, they're changing the coaching staff. And I think that really holds QBs back some. Meanwhile, you've got not a rookie, but Jared Goff in Detroit has the same play caller coming back year after year with Ben Johnson. CJ Stroud is doing that right now. We're seeing that firsthand in Houston. That benefits the rookie going into year number two. I think that's a huge deal. So while a lot of it is just kind of a crapshoot, I would also say a lot of it is fit and stability and continuity and just consistency. And in Locker's case, you know, it's half inaccurate, which they're not going to coach a quarterback to be more accurate than what he's been to that level. I mean, by and large, you're not going to fix that guy. Josh Allen is the outlier in that. But Joe, I mean, it is get in the room. You start talking to a guy. Drake May is a good example. If you hear Drake May, or if you hear about what he's like in interviews, he is the alpha male. He talks about wanting to kick your ass
good.
On the field and then go to church on Sunday.
Love it.
You know, but that's great. But what happened at North Carolina the last two seasons at the end of the year where they just fell off a cliff as a team? When you start looking at the unbeaten North Carolina team at home, and then all of a sudden they're nowhere to be found in the month of November. Those things matter, and especially in a conference where if Drake May is the number one or number two overall pick, let's see that happen. Caleb Williams, I mean, wins the Heisman, and then what does he do as a backup or a sequel to that? Nothing. I mean, he put up big numbers, but I mean, no defense will certainly do that to you, but it wasn't the same type of Caleb Williams. So I think you have to take the good and the bad and not just rely on what was the dude like in a 15-minute interview at the combine or what he was like whenever he was on our campus or in our facility. A lot of that goes into just how secure you are in your job and how much you have to take a swing and see what happens. And I think a good example of that, Joe, is with the Giants. With the third draft now for Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, what do they do when they select? Are they going to make a move and try to draft a QB, or are they going to stay where they are and stick with Jones? The money's with Jones, but how secure do they feel? And if they draft a young quarterback, what's it like a year from now with that coaching staff? That's just an example of what we could see with the turnover. I think that from a QB perspective, that's a big hurdle to overcome when you're supposed to be having your biggest jump from year one to year two in this offseason.
I asked Chase this question earlier, Jonathan. I want to ask you. You're sitting there at seven, and somehow Drake May falls to seven, and he is a top player on the board, and you got Levis. Do you take him?
No, I trade. I trade down, and I get future first-round picks, and I build. It's still a thin roster in Nashville, Joe. I don't draft the quarterback and then have Rudolph as the third string. I try to find a trade partner that's desperate for the quarterback position, and I'm riding with Will Levis, who the owners even mentioned as part of the reason why they got rid of Vrabel in her statement. So I try to trade, and I pick up picks in a draft where I don't have very many, especially in the top 100. And this day and age, too, if a team is desperate, they're going to give you future first-round picks, and that would be a massive overhaul for a team that needs premier talent, elite talent. And you allow your new regime to go and build through those pieces. They don't have many of those opportunities in this draft. This would be quite the scenario if they have one or two quarterbacks at seven, if the Chargers go offensive tackle, or if the Arizona Cardinals don't trade the pick, they go with Marvin Harrison Jr. Titans are in a good spot at seven if all that happens.
It's hard to believe they're 9 days out and finally we'll be getting through the first round.
By the way, which position would you go with? Offensive tackle, wide receiver? Or I mean, I would go tackle, but again, it's very cyclical with all the reviews of these tackles. And if you're going tackle, you're just going with what Bill Callahan wants.
Yeah, look, I'm going Joe Alt. If Joe Alt's there at seven,
no matter what,
I'm that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, and here's the thing, Jonathan. I was telling Chase this earlier. Now we're to the point where we're starting to pick on these guys. Like, well, Joe Alt, you know, he is 6'9", and so you know, no 6'9" tackles ever. Blah blah. I hate this part when we get to it because the guy's damn good. And everything you watch on tape, he's pretty good. And now he's going to be under the tutelage of one of the best offensive line coaches ever. Take him. It's a no-brainer.
I would think so. But, hey, what does Bill Callahan think about the second-round tackle? You know?
Right.
He's the best O-line coach in the NFL, and maybe he feels like this guy fits the line. And by the way, he's not going to make a recommendation because he's, he's vain, or because he wants the power. He's making this pick for his son. If he's recommending something, I think that's important to mention. I only say that because if he feels like you can get the same type of value and develop a player in the second round, I'm going with what Bill Callahan recommends.
Good point.
If I'm Brian Callahan,
that's a really good point because I've thought about that. Brian Callahan has said, you can't overvalue a touchdown scorer. And he went through this before in Cincinnati when they were deciding between Jamar Chase and Penei Sewell.
Yep.
Obviously, they made the right decision. But he's kind of faced with it again. And I am curious, does Bill Callahan make the same recommendation to his son that he would make to, insert head coach's name?
Yeah, and I think he would. I'm not trying to say that it would be different. I just think it's more – they are in lockstep with what they want to do. And there's a reason why he came to Nashville instead of staying in Cleveland, right? Like it was because of his son coaching here and setting up his son in his first time calling plays, first time head coach with a young general manager in the position. I mean, he's the experienced guy in the room. So I think they're leaning heavily on that experience and especially on the O-line. I mean, if Joe Alt's an all-pro, a perennial all-pro, then you take him, right? You don't pass up on that guy. But if you think the separation between the group of tackles, which many feel like that we could see – I mean, I saw one mock draft, Chase, that had, five tackles in, the top 18 picks.
Yeah.
that means there's great value there, but also you could trade back. If it's that front-loaded – you're in a good position at seven to trade back and get more picks. I would do it based on the quarterback position because that's where you're going to get the haul. If not, I'm going tackle or wide receiver. And it's based on the fact that you feel like you've targeted a player in the second round that Bill Callahan would want to coach and develop. And not just develop, but go ahead and plug and play. I mean, that's the other factor here is you feel like he's ready to go. And the Titans over the years have had success with second, third, fourth, fifth round tackles. So it's not unheard of to get a starter in those rounds. And it's the top 100 where you've got to hit. So I don't overlook the second round pick being one of the targets there. And you can get a target for your quarterback at number seven, depending on how things fall.
Yeah, for sure. Hutt, appreciate it as always. And we'll talk next week.
Yeah, always enjoy this, guys. Thank you. And look forward to next week.
Thanks, buddy.
100%. Jonathan Hutton from OutKick joining us here on the show.